Hello everybody and welcome to episode 29 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast / Crystal Maze Podcast. I am joined as per normal by Crystal Maze fanatic Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello.
And also by former lover of Mr. O'Brien, Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
You want no part of this.
Oh, you bastard. So you guys have been playing Crystal Maze, the app on iPhone. How is it?
Shit.
Jinx. Excellent.
Motherfucker.
You can't talk now.
Can we just say that while...
White Rabbit Infinity padlocked.
Don't I just need to say his name to release him from the jinx?
Three times.
But, like Beetlejuice.
Oh, you talked.
And that what's going to happen?
Is, you're going to die of amoebic dysentery now.
It was always on the cards, to be honest.
Yeah, so the Crystal Maze app is apparently shit. Do not buy it. However, I do advise you watch Crystal Maze on Challenge TV because Crystal Maze is fucking amazing.
The only good bit about it is it's got the theme tune.
Yeah, I was quite pleased. It has the theme tune and it has the original zones and it has Richard O'Brien in it rather than Ed Judapole.
Yeah, but here's the important thing about the Crystal Maze theme tune that I realized today. If you listen to the Crystal Maze theme tune and the X-Men cartoon from the 1990s theme tune, they use the exact same riff.
Really?
Yes. It's exactly the same.
That's a little bit specific.
It's exactly the same. So I tested this out at work. I actually got them both up on Spotify and went, yeah, that's exactly the same riff. It's really odd. Yes. So
and
I thought
it's also highly... Don't stop watching X-Men now.
That's the Crystal Maze theme tune, if anybody was wondering.
Now someone needs to find the X-Men theme tune. That's probably a harder one.
That's the best thing about the Crystal Maze app, though.
That is, yeah. And I wanted to throw it out the window, because you're playing a game, and like Richard O'Brien starts playing the harmonica. Like, fuck off, you cunt.
He always did that, though. That's what
I know.
The Crystal Maze
Go away. Leave me alone. I'm trying to replace electrical circuits here.
Oh, that was the first one I did.
It's annoying, isn't it? And you've got to do three levels.
It's
Crystal Maze
annoying.
Was never that hard in the TV show.
Hold on.
True. What have you found?
I think I found the X-Men thing, Jim.
Yes!
Right.
Easy killer. Here we go.
Wait.
Fucking hell, it is.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
No, it's not.
It's pretty fucking similar.
It's close. It's not exact, but it's close.
It's not exact, but it's pretty close, and it's just kind of like in a different key as well. But it's pretty close.
So if we carry on talking this, is your tune going to change any more dramatically?
No,
it's just slightly different notes in a slightly different key, played in a slightly different order. Identical.
I'd say those are close enough for me because I was humming the Crystal Maze theme tune at work and then realised I turned it into the X-Men theme tune.
No, because X-Men goes... Di-li-li-di-di. That's the X-Men one, isn't it?
That's exactly the same as the Crystal Maze one.
Close enough.
And Casualty goes... Oh, I can't do Casualty.
Yeah, that's not similar at all, though.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. Right, Crystal Maze done. I just wanted to get we talked about Crystal Maze a lot last week as well, and I thought we needed to get that in at the beginning of the podcast, because obviously that was the best bit of last week's podcast, the discussion of the similarities between Journey and Crystal Maze. Mm. So moving swiftly on, Nintendo have realized they're fucked and have repriced the 3DS.
How much was the 3DS?
Like 100, well... Officially, what was the official price? Like 220-ish?
It was $250 because the UK never had an official retail price.
Nintendo came out with some weird retail scheme and they're like, we're not going to tell you what the price is. And like, what are you doing, Nintendo? It was exactly like that. I imagine Reggie Fils Army just mocking and laughing. And it's kind of been repriced. What, down? We don't know what it's going to be in the UK yet, do we?
No, but they've said that it's going to be a similar sort of cut.
Yeah, I mean, it was $250 in the US,
Yeah.
And it's now 170?
170, and it was roughly £200 in the UK.
So what's that equate to, we reckon?
I reckon it'll probably end at 150. Maybe 140 at a stretch.
Yeah, I was thinking about 150, 140.
But I think about 50p.
Yeah.
In percentage terms, it should actually be a little bit lower than that, but obviously with the way the UK exchange rate is the taxes we pay and all that sort of shit, then it might end up being, I think, probably about 150.
It's always hard to judge, but I think 150 seems reasonable in terms of what, like, the conversion of the price cut, I mean. So, are Nintendo fucked?
No. Nintendo are so far from being fucked. Nintendo have got Wii money. They don't fucking need the 3DS to be a success.
To be fair, Nintendo have done this really weird thing where they've sort. I don't know if they're necessarily panicked, but they've gone, we should probably drop the price a bit so it sells more before any good games are out, which is what's the really odd thing.
Yeah. Sort of stumbled a little bit on the software side.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't shifting copies after, like, Mario and Luigi's Mansion, all that stuff that's coming is out. If like Star Fox 3D and so many things coming to it, but if
this
that
is
stuff,
it.
Yeah,
you know,
if that...
it's quite a bold move by Nintendo, because any other company in the world would have held off to see if they could sell the system when Mario starts selling.
Yeah,
because Mario's a system seller, so they would have held off to see if they could sell it at the high price, and then when the Mario sales start to decline, then they can cut the price and get another spike off it.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is quite brave to cut the price before any of that happens.
I don't know if it's brave or it's just kind of odd.
Would that not long just prolong the initial spike, though?
Potentially, it might make the initial spike much bigger, and it means that they only have to advertise. Their advertising budget will be focused on that one period.
Yeah. But it's odd because it means that they're not going to cut it for a long time now, I wouldn't imagine.
No.
Because the margins on this have got to be wafer thin now.
Yeah, that thing is fairly solidly built. It's a substantial little handheld.
It's solidly built. It's got the 3D screen is something like, because the touchscreen they could sell for cheap because loads of people make, particularly when it's just a resistive touchscreen, they cost fuck all now. But those 3D screens
aren't
used.
And it's a shit one as well. Yeah. It's not even very precise.
But those 3D screens, it's not like they're used in loads of other products. They must be being, if not custom built, they must be one of like very few orders.
No, I imagine they're custom built by like Foxconn or one of those companies.
Exactly. So that's what I've that and obviously that's going to damage their margins hugely, because when you can make it out of off the shelf parts, it's fucking cheap. But when you've got to say to someone that we want a screen that's exactly like this and you need to alter your manufacturing process so we can do it, it becomes really expensive.
See, I think the problem for them, and I think the reason for the price drop, is that people equate it too much to being like the DS. And I think that that's possibly not a lesson that they learned when they named the Wii the successor. But they've named this thing the 3DS, so people think that it's a slight upgrade to the DS. And it's not, it's a completely different console.
Yeah, I mean, that's one issue. I think they're going to suffer that issue with the Wii U as well.
So I think that's part of the reason why they've dropped this price, is to bring it in line with, roughly, with the price of the DSs and the DS XL.
But you say that, and there was the Game Boy line existed forever, and that was only ever a slight change. Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Advance SP.
But each time they changed something substantial about the unit.
I suppose
they either changed the form factor or the size, or they made them in weird colours and made them skinny, or there was always little things that made it look different to a consumer. The 3DS really doesn't look very different to a consumer when they see it sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you that. That is certainly true.
And also, the thing's only been out for, 5 months? And it's the five quiet months of the year?
Yeah, so. That was odd. And see, there was, because Al wrote quite a good article about this earlier, and there was the point he made that, or I don't know if it was him or someone in the comments, but they made about the fact that they released it in the middle of the year, so it was always going to be hard for them to sell software. But the thing is, all the software they're going to sell on it in huge volumes is first-party stuff where they fucking control that release cycle. Yep. They can release it with the console if they wanted to. And it just kind of feels like they put the 3DS out before the software support was ready. And I could understand that if they were waiting for third-party software support. But when you're waiting for first-party software support, It just makes no sense.
No, I think that it's been supposed, and I think Nintendo have even said themselves, that the early release of it and the reason why there was no big Nintendo software in the initial launch phase was to give third-party support a chance, to give people like Ubisoft a chance to sell their products. Because if they had have launched with a new Mario game, everybody would have bought the console and the Mario game and ignored all the third-party software that was launching.
Yeah.
And I think once they announced the Wii U, that idea sort of made a bit more sense, because they're obviously trying to work far more with third parties on that console. So I think it's that decision was possibly part of a bigger strategy. But it is a little bit odd, I think, launching at the start of a year, especially in the West, and then going over the quiet months of the year when the economy's in a shit state anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
And not having your heavy hitters there to pull the crowds.
I mean, the only thing I can think of was possibly, because we kind of knew the Vita was coming, they probably made some rough assumptions about the timescale for that, and went, well, we don't want to go head-to-head with that, because although you can certainly argue that it's different target markets, you're still competing for people's dollars, and that's never a great move. Yep. I don't think so. I've got the suspicion that they went, okay, well, we think it's probably going to come about then. We want to be well out of the way of that. Let's release it 6 months before that, so we've got the hardware out there. And I think possibly as well, if you look at when they are selling the software, because the software, although I don't think many dates are confirmed, it's probably going to be holiday, isn't it, realistically, for a lot of this?
Yeah, November.
And I mean, if you think about that, that's exactly when the Vita's coming out. Or is it? Is the Vita confirmed for this year or next year?
It has been. They've said that it's definitely coming out this year in one of their territories.
In Japan, probably. Japan or maybe the States, because it did sell quite well in the States. It's weird. Because the Go sold really well in the States, didn't it? So it's going to come out somewhere this year. And I think what they're possibly thinking is going, okay, well, if we save all the stuff like Mario, all the stuff we know is going to shift like a million more 3DSs, if we save all that up, then we can release it just before the Vita comes out, preempt the Vita, and get all that money that Sony would be getting towards us?
Possibly, yeah.
Which is an interesting business strategy if that's what they're going for.
The one thing we can be sure of, amongst all this speculation, I mean, we're going to speculate, and obviously people are commenting on the sign speculating. The one thing you can be sure of is that Nintendo have a plan, and they're going to have a better plan than we can come up with.
Oh, yeah, that's certainly true.
Because they've been doing this shit for over 100 years.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
You know, and they are far and away the most successful platform holder of this generation.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't bet against them.
Yeah, I mean, this infuriates me a little bit when people were talking about how Michael Pachter doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, well, Michael Pachter probably earns about $1 million a year for saying stuff about video games. You comment on the internet and earn nothing.
Yeah.
Just my thoughts on that. Yeah. Just what I think about calling him out. Because, although, yes, he does make some public, very public predictions that are quite frequently wrong or mistimed, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But I think he's probably making a lot of very private decisions that he doesn't release to the public, the ones that he's only gives away to his investors.
Yeah, he says daft things in public. But he also, generally, Michael Pachter's long-term forecasts are fairly accurate. It's his short-term things, like when he says things like, I don't know, he makes these crazy assumptions about things that everybody can see isn't going to pan out that way.
Yeah.
And he gets the piss taken out of him. But in the process of getting the piss taken out of him, he has made himself a well-known name in the games industry.
Exactly. And he's not.
He now gets paid to appear on panels and places, and has his show on G4 TV and all that shit. Yeah. So.
And the other thing as well, he's not going to release the stuff that he thinks is a good bet to the public. He's going to keep that for his company, because you're not going to tip your hat if you go, okay, we think this is going to happen with a fairly high probability. He's not going to say that shit in public, because he's going to lose himself money.
That shit goes into reports.
Yeah, that shit goes into reports that go to his investors. And he says to his investors, yeah, you should probably invest like another $500 million in X there, so put money there.
What do we think about the 3DS? Is anybody tempted at that price? Do you think it's a better price?
See, I was. And then I suddenly realised, I don't play my DS. I've had a DS like since Mario Kart came out. and I don't play it. So I kind of went to myself, well, why are you considering this as an option? This, you know, you're not going to touch it. I mean, I don't touch my home consoles, let alone my... when was the last time I played my DS? The last time I played my DS was when Pokemon Diamond and Pearl came out. That's the last time I played. I don't even know where the charger is. That's how long it's been. I think I've moved house twice since I last played my DS.
So you probably don't need a 3DS then?
No, I'm sorry. I've moved house 3 times since I last played my DS. So yeah, I probably don't need a 3DS.
What about you, Lewis? Are you tempted? Are you awake?
He's dozed off again, isn't he?
Sorry. Oh, no, I am here. No.
You were having a fag, weren't you?
You were, sorry?
Were you having a fag and you were just like, they're not going to ask me anything, I just have a bit of a smoke?
No, I was looking through my DVD collection.
All right. I should do.
Sorry, I'll come back now. Sorry. No, I'm not interested in the 3DS at all.
It's fine, don't worry. All right, why not?
Because I just don't play handheld games. I can't even find my PS3 at the moment, so I've got no interest in losing another bit of hardware that cost me a couple of hundred quid.
Yeah, and particularly the 3DS, you could actually lose. The PS3 is fairly large.
Hmm. It's somewhere.
I think if something is like is big, to go by the 20 questions rules, if something is bigger than the size of a bread bin, you should not be losing it.
Not bigger than a bread bin, though.
I'd say a PS3 is bigger than a bread bin. Have you got like a fucking tiny bread bin?
No, I've got a slim. I've got PS3 slim. That's not bigger than a bread bin.
It depends. I'm talking width-wise, not height-wise.
Yeah, width-wise,
maybe
it's
not. Maybe it's in the bread bin.
Have you checked your bread bin? Does it contain a PS3?
I don't have a bread bin.
Does anyone
have a hippie? How small are your loaves of bread?
I don't have a bread bin either, to be fair. Does anyone have a bread bin anymore?
No.
Peter, have you got a bread bin?
The only reason people have bread bin is to keep heroin and extra cash in it.
Finish using your bread, you scrunch up the top, give it a spin and tuck it in.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's it.
I mean, I
use a Jacob's cracker box.
I was going to say, that's also what I do with my penis, but that's beside the point.
Give it a spin and tuck it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Mommy, I'm a girl.
And then ask people if they fuck me. Because I'd fuck me.
Hang on a minute. You haven't even seen that film.
No, but I can reference it.
Only reference it because of Jay and Silent Bob.
No, I don't reference it. I don't even know where I know that from. I just know that. It's not from Jay and Silent Bob. No, because that's from Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, isn't it? That they reference that.
Well, you obviously know.
No, I haven't seen that film. I haven't seen that one.
It's Strikes Back.
Clerks 2.
Clerks. No, it's Clerks.
It's not they're in Clerks.
It is. They're outside the shop.
Oh, maybe. I do like Clerks. That's a good film.
Not the shop, the fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
Clerks 2. That's not Clerks. Yeah. I haven't seen Clerks 2.
It's good.
Fair enough. Right. Peter, you've been playing From Dust. What is that game about? Because I don't know, but I really want to know because it sounds cool.
It's kind of like a god sim, kind of. You know, like Populous.
Yes.
Or Black or White.
Yes.
Kind of like those games.
Okay.
Basically, you play the role of the Breath, which is just the name that it gives you, a little cursor that spins and snakes and moves about the landscape.
Yeah.
And you have these little villages, and you have to, pretty much, you have to colonize the map. And then once you've colonized all the built villages around all the little totem poles on the map, then you can go to the passage and move on to the next map. So the way you do this is using your cursor, you can pick up and put down the ground, the earth, or the water, or lava.
Yeah.
So you can pick up earth from one spot, put it in another spot, and divert rivers.
Sure.
And then your little men can run to the next totem and they can colonize that and make a little village. Or you can pick up lava and you can build. There's one of the levels you have to build up like the ridge along the top of mountains, and it stops a tidal wave from washing over a village.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So yeah, it is pretty cool.
That sounds kind of interesting. So is it like, do you have really direct control? Is it more kind of vague? Because if you're just what do you say, the breath?
The breath.
So you're not, are you not actually controlling, like, villagers or?
No. You don't control the little dude.
So you kind of just make the path for the dudes to go along.
Yeah, you make a path, but you tell them when to go as well. So you, if you find one of these totems, then you hit A on it, the A button.
Sure.
And then the little men will go, right, we've got to go there then.
Yeah,
and then they start moving towards it. But obviously then when their path gets blocked, then you start lifting earth or moving lava or moving the water about to free up the path for them. And that's pretty much it. With each new village that you build, you get like a new special power, which allows you to suck up more earth or water or whatever, or hold it or just keep absorbing it. Or there's one of them where you can jellify the water, which just sort of turns the water into a solid, so then you can gather it up and make a path through it, like you've parted the sea.
Cool.
Pick it up as jelly, and you can build towers out of it, and then when it turns back into water, it sloshes down again.
So are you basically saying you get to be Moses?
Pretty much.
Awesome.
But you have to grow a beard first.
I like games that have some blasphemy in them. That's exactly what I like.
I don't buy a game unless it's got it in it.
Just, I mean, not a lot, just like a little bit. Just a little bit.
If it hasn't, I make my own.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I like Halo so much, because there's a decent amount of blasphemy in Halo.
Is this, whatever it's called,
From Dust.
Is it PC?
It was delayed on PC, like a week before release. So at the minute, it's only on the Xbox Live marketplace.
Oh, right, okay.
But it is coming to PC very soon, and they are going to bring it to the PS3 as well at some point. Mm. But they haven't announced a date yet. And it's part of the Microsoft Xbox Summer of Xbox, I think. And traditionally games in that are on a year's timed exclusive.
Yeah.
So it might be a year before it comes to the PS3.
Because Microsoft kind of fund them more and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Which would be shit, because it would work really well with Move.
Mm. I have heard about this game, and I heard someone say exactly that it would work really well with Move.
Yeah, just because it's a cursor you're controlling on a map.
Yeah.
So you could use the Move wand to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that would totally work with Move. I mean, that's kind of custom designed for Move, really. It's what you want.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so are you going to do a review of that soon?
Yeah, probably. I think I've nearly finished it. It's not particularly long, although I did sit up till 3 o'clock in the morning and play it last night.
Yeah, but you sat up till like 5 o'clock playing Pirates the other day, so...
Yes, but that was a mistake.
Yes. And you sat up to about 4 o'clock. Making TSA things for cars.
Oh yeah, I did that too. Jesus Christ, I haven't slept much this week.
No, it's because you keep getting distracted by games.
Yeah.
Ah, silly man. But I do have Forza 3 now, so I'm going to join you.
Hurrah!
Whenever it comes. I don't know, I think it might... How quickly does Avi post things?
Usually a couple of days.
It might not come till like next week then.
Forza
it was
3, I've got Uncharted 2.
Because it was way cheaper on Avi. It was. I realized I could get it for like, it was like £8 on Amazon, but I had to pay postage. And if I wanted it without postage, it was like £16. And on Zavi, it was only £10 with postage paid. So I was like, oh, fuck that then.
Is that the Ultimate Edition?
Yeah, it's the Ultimate Edition, but it's like the Classics one.
Oh, right.
You know, so, Xbox Classic label, which is way cheaper than just buying the Ultimate Edition. The Ultimate Edition is still like £25. But if you buy it on Classics, it's like 10 to 15 quid.
Awesome.
Depending
on what
you're
playing. Because we've been playing Tag, and Tag on Forza is brilliant.
I also got a Superman Batman cartoon, which I'm quite excited about.
What one is it?
Public Enemies.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
I think I've read the comic version of it, which is pretty cool. The Superman Batman series is really weird because they're literally just converting the real stories from the trade collections into cartoons, which no one else is doing. It's cool, but it's really weird.
I think I've seen that movie, but I can't remember it.
I think it's maybe quite good. I think it got really positively reviewed. Right, moving on swiftly. Lewis, competition time.
Okay.
Also, listeners, let us know if you like the competition at this point in the podcast, like a bit earlier. Does it work for you, that kind of thing?
It does seem to work, because I get a lot more
So that's what entries. I was thinking, because I think the way we perceived it was obviously that they had like ages to listen to it, because we record on a Thursday rather than the actually they've only got like Monday night till Thursday night.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so last week I played a piece of music that sounded like this. And that is, of course, the Sorcerer's Apprentice from Fantasia.
I don't like Fantasia. It was creepy.
You shut your mouth.
I watched it when I was like, I watched it when I was like six, and it's well creepy.
I don't like Fantasia either. Mickey Mouse is a dick.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse is a dick. But
yeah, that's true.
He's only in it for a little bit.
It's not Mickey Mouse I don't like. I don't like the hippos. The hippos are creepy.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't understand you sometimes.
And the brooms are kind of creepy as well.
You're kind of creepy.
Yeah, well, so's your face.
Yeah.
Exactly. So how many entrants did you get for that?
For that one.
How many times have you been entered, Lewis?
How many times? quite a lot. And it's all been right. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 entrants to that, and they were all correct. So if someone could give me a number between 1 and 7.
1.
Yeah. Peter's gone for 1. That has gone to a man by the name of Daniel Bell, whose six-axis idea is apparently Danny Ken. And he says that he's listened to the podcast since about episode 15 or 16, and he's loving it, although it is a bit random.
Yes. We do hear that a lot.
He's never entered the competition, so he felt motivated this week.
It's awesome when people enter the competition on the podcast and we don't recognise their names.
Yeah, I love that. It's really nice.
And he's asked us a question, which you need to remind me for at the end.
All right, we'll do.
Cool. It's really nice whenever people win and you know who they are, but it's really cool to hear that there's people listening to the podcast that aren't really commenting on the website that much.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of, in fact, I think I'm getting more and more new ones actually now. So I don't know if that is because we've moved it forward, but there are a lot more new faces.
I think certainly moving it forward helps, because I didn't realise that there are so many people who listen to it in little like 20-minute chunks. Because when I listen to podcasts, I tend to listen to like on the way to or back from work. It takes me about an hour to get to work. So that's...
Yeah, it depends. Most people only take about 20 minutes, half hour to get to work, don't they?
It would only take me about that if I drove, because I have to walk down to the bus stop and get the bus. It takes me an hour.
I tend slow to going, set aside an hour when I go to bed.
Yeah, I listen to podcasts when I go to bed. Put my headphones in and fall asleep to the sound of men talking shit.
Yeah, that has sometimes resulted in me waking up in the middle of the night with my headphones wrapped around my neck. Choking.
You want to get one of those pillows that's got like a speaker in it?
I have.
Well, then why don't you use that?
Because I haven't got a aux lead.
Oh, surely you could get one. They cost like £2.
Yeah, well, surely everyone can get one, Chris.
I can send you one if you
want. It's not going to solve world problems if I get one.
I could send you one. I've got like 6.
Yeah, we'll do it then.
All right, I will.
God.
If that's what you want, I'm sure I can send you an aux lead.
Yeah, you can do it if you want to send me an aux lead. That'd be cool.
Do you want like...
Oh, I love my pillow.
Oh, cool.
The only problem is you can't wash them.
Oh, that's kind of sucky. But so, can you wash like... I assume you can wash like the pillow case.
Yeah, you obviously change the pillow case as you normally would, but you can't wash the actual pillow.
I don't think I've washed the actual pillow before, though.
Jesus Christ, you should do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Within like 5 years, the weight of your pillow is 2/3 made of dead skin cells.
Yeah, but I just buy a new pillow.
Oh.
And also, if like you had a night out and you ended up throwing up in your sleep, you wouldn't be able to keep it.
I've only ever thrown up on myself once, but never on the pillow.
I've never done it, but I'm just saying.
I threw up over the whole rest of the bed and myself, but not on the pillow. I was very drunk, though.
I'm giving options as to reasons to why you would need to wash your pillow. There are a couple of obvious ones, but I'm not going there.
Yeah. I mean, what did I do? I think I drank about 1.5 liters of Jack Daniels, which didn't end well.
Mm. That's good. I drank an entire bottle of Southern Comfort on New Year's Eve, 2010 New Year's Eve. Drank an entire bottle of Southern Comfort to myself, passed out on someone's balcony.
About 5 years ago, I drank an entire bottle of Aftershock to myself.
That, yeah, that's mental.
Yeah, that was bad. That was really bad. I did not end well at all. Which was quite amusing when my ex turned up and I was paralytic and upside. I was paralytic and upside down when she arrived.
Trouble is, Peter's now sat there going, what are you guys talking about? He drinks, that's what he has in his tea.
Actually, I've been drinking smoothies to try and get some fruit into my diet. And today I had the genius notion that into my kiwi and lime smoothie, I'd put melon liqueur, thus turning health food into a mid-afternoon cocktail.
Yeah. Well done. You moaned at me and tell me I need to drink more vitamin C, and now you're admitting that you don't really eat any fruit.
Drink milk.
I don't really eat fruit. I don't like fruit, only bananas. But only if they're smothered in chocolate sauce and surrounded by ice cream.
But you're always telling me I need to have more vitamin C.
Yeah, I take vitamin C drinks. Science, okay. Chris.
Drink milk. Done. Drink a pint of milk a day.
That hasn't got any vitamin C in it at all, does it? It just has calcium. You'd get scurvy if you only drank milk.
I'd take scurvy if it means drinking milk.
I don't really like milk either.
Me and you are going to fall out.
All right, fair enough. There's so many things we could fall out over. It's not really a surprise.
It's all your fault as well. Everything.
That seems reasonable.
Every one of them is your fault. Pick a DVD between 1 and 8.
5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who won?
Daniel, was it? Something like that.
Kenny Dan.
Kenny Dan. Dan Bale.
Was it Danny Ken?
Yeah.
Danny Ken.
Yeah, something like that. Kenny Dan, Danny Ken.
Whoever you are.
It wasn't
whoever
that person.
Yeah, it was that person.
Whoever
we said.
Was Ben something.
Yeah, no, but his username was Danny Ken.
Oh, right. That's very confusing.
Yeah. Whoever it was we said, like, a minute. Your name isn't Blue or Colossal, but it's still your name everywhere.
That's true.
Whoever we said, like, about 2 minutes ago, that's who won.
But your name isn't Hal Bro.
Well, that's
my name is actually my name.
I know, that's because you're unimaginative.
No. It's because I don't need to make anything up. My name's already awesome.
Yeah, but your name's already an alias.
That is
true. Yeah, of another alias.
Are you liking witness protection twice?
Oh, I wish it was just twice. And it's not witness protection.
All right, fair enough.
It's criminal protection.
Ugh. Right, so well done to whoever we said about 3 minutes ago. What do you need to win?
The Box, starring Frank Langella, Cameron Diaz, and twat-face Cyclops.
What's that about?
Oh, it's a brilliant film. It's the
twat-face
director of...
Cyclops?
Yeah, well, Scott Marsden. Bloke who plays Cyclops in X-Men.
Oh.
Yeah, see? Exactly. It's the director of Donnie Darko, and it's about Frank Langella plays like this mysterious bloke who turns up at the Cameron Diaz's door with a box with a button in it.
Oh, I know exactly where that film is, yeah.
If you push that button, we'll give you $1 million, but someone else will die that you don't know. So it's a really good film.
Yeah, I know that film. I haven't seen it, but I want to. It looks kind of cool.
No, it is really good. There's a review of it on Screen Demon if you need to go and read about it.
Oh, I might do that.
I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to people.
Oh, okay.
you're not allowed to read it.
Oh, fine. So, with that winning out of the way, what is next week's bit of music?
Oh, yeah. Let me just grab that. I know we normally alternate them, but I can't think of any more music for games. So, this is another film one. So, yeah, what is this piece of music?
I know what that's from, but I can't place it. That's really annoying.
That is an awesome soundtrack to an awesome film. So if you know the film...
And quite a good game on the iPhone.
Really?
I think so. No, it's not the film I'm thinking
doubt
of.
It.
Yeah, it's not the film I'm thinking of.
I was going to say, that is an interesting game.
I've just remembered what film that's from.
Yeah, so if you know that piece of music, or sorry, if you know what film that piece of music is from, email me at lewisgaston@screendemon.com.
And also, you have been watching Time Crimes?
Yes, I have.
Is this like Time Cop? Please tell me it's like Time Cop.
I haven't seen Time Cop.
But it has Jean-Claude Van Damme in it.
Oh, I hate Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You wouldn't say that to his face.
I would. He'd just cry. Did you see the documentary where he cried about like a tree or something?
No.
He was looking at a tree and then he started crying. Come on, Jean, move on.
Well, he finally realized it was something he... He couldn't roundhouse kick into submission.
That may be possibly true.
She's like, no, the tree will defeat me. Oh,
you're laughing. I watched Kickboxer where he did kick the shit out of a tree.
Oh, man. Jungle Van Damme's badass. He can even take a tree in a fight.
He kicked a tree until it broke and fell over.
This one must have been an evergreen.
Yeah.
They're hard. Double hard. Like double impact. Yes, Time Crimes. Very, very good film. It's a Spanish film.
Is it about time travel?
It is. That's all right, it's a Spanish sci-fi horror thriller mystery drama thing. And it's quite a indie film. There's only four people in the entire film, two of which you don't really see that much. So there's two main characters. The main character is called Hector, and he's like a middle-aged bloke living a normal life and whatever, and he's just moved into a nice new house with his wife in the middle of nowhere, really quiet and whatever. And one day he sat in his garden with a pair of binoculars, just sort of surveying the surrounding hills and stuff, and he notices a young girl in the woods not too far away, and she's acting really weird, and then takes off her clothes, and then he... gets distracted, so loses his sight, and then when he goes back, she's lying up against a rock and she looks dead, so he goes off into the woodlands to try and find her, and when he gets there, some crazed bloke with a bandage wrapped around his head stabs him in the arm, so he then runs off into the woods and comes across a mysterious scientific lab and is tricked by a scientist in there to, well, not tricked, but he, like trying to help him get to safety from this crazed psycho, gets him into a time machine and transports him 90 minutes into the past. So when he gets out, he then sees himself going to the aid of the girl.
Yeah.
And then watches himself get stabbed and run into the time machine. So then there's two of them. And then that second Hector also sees himself get into the time machine, so it's like an infinite loop, 90-minute infinite loop. And the first Hector then tries to stop the loop and either go about have all these Hectors going about their own separate ways, but it doesn't work out like that. And obviously, time travel messes with your head anyway. But it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It sounds weird and it sounds complicated, but it's not. It's really low-key and understated. The initial scene where he goes into the woods and you first meet this bandaged bloke, it's actually a really tense 10 minutes, like a really tense chase scene through the woods. So it starts off really sort of with a horror vibe. And then when obviously the time travel kicks in, it goes all sci-fi. And then there's the whole mystery thriller about the loop and who's doing what and where's everyone come from sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then there's always a little bit of subtle humour in there as well, which it gives it a really unique feel. And I absolutely loved the film. It's really, really well done. And I thought brilliantly written. The only thing I did think is that the ending to it has an inconsistency, which is always going to happen with time travel.
Yeah.
But there is a point in the film, I think perhaps 10 minutes towards the end, where if they'd stopped it and did something a little obvious, it would have tied everything up without any inconsistencies whatsoever, which would have been rare for a time traveling film, I think.
Yeah.
A bit like, you know, the Prestige, where get all the, there's that pile of hats.
Yeah.
I thought that there comes a point about 10 minutes towards the end where something along those lines could have happened to have tied it all up nicely and leave it all rosy. But it goes on for the next 10 minutes and ends. It's still a good ending. It just does leave you with one inconsistency.
I really like the pile of hats scene in The Prestige. That's a really good scene.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
But yeah, no, check that film out. It is really, really well done and definitely worth a watch.
Cool. I shall.
I think I gave it 5 when I reviewed it.
Ah, cool. Okay. You know who's not in Time Crimes? Alice. You know, and you know who's not in Daredevil?
Alice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that is a link.
Yep.
Seamless.
So I last week a new run of Daredevil started at Daredevil number 1, and it's written by Mark Waid, and the art is by Paolo Manuel, who wasn't someone I'd heard of before, and kind of everyone was really getting excited about the fact, okay, cool, Mark Waid is writing this, he's done amazing stuff, he's been doing like Amazing Spider-Man and the indie book Irredeemable, which is pretty awesome. Now he's on Daredevil, like this classic Marvel property. How amazing is this going to be, kind of thing. And the writing is good. The writing is cool and enjoyable and asks some quite interesting questions about Daredevil, I think. But Paolo Manuel's art on it is... Oh, well, sorry, it's Paolo Manuel Rivera. I'm not really... but his art is just mind-blowing. Absolutely incredible. So it's all done in this really weird style, really different to anything I've seen in a very long time, where like occasionally the background's not filled in and that kind of thing. And it doesn't feel, but it
that's just lazy.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, but it doesn't make it feel incomplete. It's just kind of more minimalist, I guess, is probably the word I'm looking for. It works really well.
What's the comic called?
Daredevil.
Has it not got any like?
It's Daredevil number 1.
I've just searched for an image of it. It has like little squares all over it.
Really? Possibly. It's kind of amazing. Wait, I'll find you an image of it.
Daredevil numero uno.
Yeah, it just came out like last week.
Daredevil number 1 photos from Ryan Ange. I don't know who Ryan Ange is.
Yeah, I'm gonna paste it into the Skype chat, and then you can see. But I absolutely adore it, really. The art is gorgeous. It's well written. The best thing about the art, I think, is the fact that he... there's two brilliant things. One is the fact that you actually see like Daredevil's radar view quite frequently throughout. But obviously, Daredevil can't see, so he hears by sound, and it's all radar. And that's absolutely amazing.
Sonar, surely.
Sonar, sorry, yes. Yeah, it's all kind of incredible to see that perspective on the world, like how he is seeing stuff. And I absolutely adore that.
That is really cool, actually.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Sorry, the link
cool.
You just sent, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, go to the next page.
What, 8 out of 10?
Yeah, click where it says next. And you'll see some of his stuff.
As I said, page 7's a bit boring.
Yeah, so 7's kind of cool, but not very interesting. Page 8 is where it gets cool.
Oh, I like the radar view.
Yeah, it's really cool, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And that's fantastic. And the other thing I adored in this is, you'll see it on this page as well. If you look where on the sort of halfway down the left, there's a panel break where it breaks into two. And if you notice, the bar grows across his eyes.
Yeah.
There's a couple of places in that where he's using it as this like really subtle indicator reminding you that he's blind. Which I thought was quite nice.
Yeah, so there's some really imaginative stuff with the panels through all these pages.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's on the cover art as well, where he's got one of, I don't know what his weapons are called, but like the sticks he uses for fighting, one of them is kind of over his eyes on the front cover as well.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Escrima sticks,
yeah.
There's a girl with her arm that's in the way of his eyes.
It's just... It's wonderful, but the story is fantastic, because Daredevil in the last few years has got pretty complicated, and they drop hints to all that so that the existing fans kind of get get that hook back, but it's all really subtle. It's not the focus of the story. And you kind of feel like this is a brand new era for Daredevil. So let's just kind of not start afresh. We're not getting rid of what happened before, but what happened before is no longer the focus of what's happening now. If that kind of makes sense. Just kind of like, yeah, this stuff happened, but it's in the past. Let's focus on what's going on with him at this moment. And there's a lot more about him practicing law, which is something I always quite liked with Daredevil, the fact that he is a lawyer as well. And always made his ability to kind of find trouble seem more realistic, because he always had this initial lead of like a criminal case to go and follow up. So people should be buying that, because it's the best thing I've read in a very long time. It's cool. It's absolutely brilliant.
It looks really interesting. I really like all the stuff that I like the sort of technique that they use in the panels. The design of a comic really interests me. And there's a lot of interesting panel work on that.
Yeah, Picture 6 of 10 is really interesting.
What's really cool as well is there's a backup story to it as well, where the panel work is incredible, because like each panel is in places, it's kind of split into sub panels, where it's focusing on an element of like the scene, which is like music or something. So it's again trying to give you an indication of how Daredevil sees the scene, how Matt Murdock is perceiving this. So like it's a scene of him, not as Daredevil, just as Matt Murdock, kind of walking down the street. And as he's walking down, there's like it focuses like on an orange and the smell of oranges and the sound of some guy with headphones on and that kind of stuff as he's walking along. And it's absolutely brilliant.
Very cool.
Very cool. And there's even a brilliant bit in that where, because his like best friend is Foggy Nelson, and obviously Matt Murdock's blind, and he stops Foggy from falling into like an open manhole, which is just a really nice, just a really kind of funny but quite cool scene. So that whole book is amazing. It's a nice fresh start for Daredevil. There's a mildly interesting cliffhanger at the end, which I actually kind of wish wasn't in there. Is there anything that spoilt the book a little bit for me? Because I don't know, this isn't the kind of book where I want him to get into some huge confrontation straight away, if you sort of see what I mean. I just want him to... I want
know
this,
more about him.
Yeah, I want this to be more focused on him for a couple of issues, and more on the Matt Murdock side of things than the Daredevil side of things, because a lot of this is about Matt Murdock, which is brilliant, really, to me. But yeah, people should be buying that, because... it's absolutely stunning. So good. I don't think anyone was expecting it to be that way ever, but it's genuinely amazing. Sadly, something that's not so amazing. Peter, you've been playing Call of Juarez.
Yes, I have. Not since I wrote the review, because I will never touch that game again.
Yeah.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That game is fucking terrible. And it's not like... I really try hard not to say that a game's just fucking awful, but
yeah, I mean, because normally
this game's awful in a really lazy way.
Yeah, because I mean, normally if you look, you can find some kind of redeeming feature.
Well, yeah, even if it is bad, I tend to try to say, well, it's not very good because of these reasons, you know.
Yeah,
because people spend years of their life working on this shit.
Yeah, if you can just point to something and be like, okay, so like this is, I mean, it's not a great experience. What was really dragging it down was like this one element here, but by the sound of it, in Call of Juarez, it's not just one element; it's every element is dragging the game down.
Yeah, there is one redeeming feature. It's quite interesting. It has like secret agenda missions where you'll start a mission and you'll get phone calls from like somebody will be whispering down a phone to you to get you to do something, and you have to do that behind the back of your two AI companions.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Which is a pretty cool idea, really, really terribly implemented.
Oh, okay.
For example, you can take a phone call while you're in the middle of a fight.
That's not...
At which point, you stagger about on your phone like a bell end while everybody in the room shoots you to death. You can take a phone
Hang
call...
Hang on a minute, why is there a phone?
You have like a mobile phone.
Oh, is this set in present day?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the first thing.
Call of Juarez knowledge is Western.
Yeah, this is what I thought as well.
It's set in modern day Los Angeles with the three most annoying twats you could hope to meet.
Ah.
So yeah, you can get a phone call while you're walking to do your mission, because for some reason all the missions start with like a funny little multiplayer lobby thing. Yeah. And in order to start the mission, you have to get in the car. And then you have to get out of the car again. And then you can start the mission. But generally, there's a little bit of walking has to be done as well. So you can take a phone call while you're walking, and in the act of answering your phone, get knocked over by a car.
Oh, lovely.
It's like things like just put that stuff on hold while I take a phone call.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really, really, really poor. The controls are jerky. It took me about 10 or 15 minutes playing about with the sensitivity in Dead Zones to get that usable. And then I went into multiplayer and the controls were different again. They needed tweaked separately for the multiplayer.
Oh, not ideal. Which was
peculiar. So yeah, that's just a fucking terrible game. The dialogue's awful. The subtitles don't match the dialogue. They've obviously written the script and then put that in the game and then got voice actors in to record something that's vaguely like that.
Oh dear.
So what type of game is it then? Because obviously the last, was it Bound in Blood or Brothers in Blood?
Bound in Blood, yeah.
Bound in Blood. That was like Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, well, that was a first-person shooter, but it was Western.
Yeah.
And it had a bit of a story, and they were brothers, and there was a bit of interest there. This is set in modern-day Los Angeles, and you can play as one of three law enforcement officers. So there's somebody from the LAPD, who I think is like a descendant of the two cowboys from Bound in Blood. I think that's the only link.
Oh, my God.
And he likes wearing a cowboy hat to work and using revolvers rather than semi-auto pistols. And that's about as much as the cowboy stuff gets. So you can play as him. He's LAPD. And there's a guy that's from the DEA. That's like a Mexican guy that quite often wears a weird Obama mask.
Mm.
And then there's a woman that's from the FBI. And basically all through the game, none of them like each other. None of them trust each other. They're all doing these little secret missions behind each other's backs. At no point do they do anything to make you like them. And they never hide the fact that they don't like each other.
Mm.
So you just don't really give a shit about anything that's going on. And the controls are fucking terrible. So you're not enjoying the journey even.
No.
It's just seriously one of the worst games I've played this generation. And I think definitely the worst this year.
I will steer clear of that then.
Yeah. But like I say, it's all a really lazy way. It's things which could have been fixed if they'd had a bit more budget and a bit more time. But they've obviously just said, well, fuck it, we can't be bothered. Just get it out the door and we'll move on to something else.
Yeah, which is not the way to make a game.
No, that game should have been cancelled because it has now effectively killed the Call of Juarez franchise.
Mm.
Yep. Not what you wanted to. Don't kill your franchises. It's kind of stupid.
And Call of... Oh, yeah, no.
The thing is, as well, when I heard this was Wooden Day, I was like, oh, so maybe they're going to do some like cool alternate history thing where like the Wild West never really ended, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, that would have worked, because the thing with Call of Juarez is the West.
Yeah, but I thought they could do this thing where kind of like the Wild West never really ended, like you've got some built-up areas and you've got cars, but it's still kind of like this lawless place,
yeah.
And that would have been brilliant. That would have interesting
right
game.
There, you've already got a better concept for a video game than this one is. Yeah.
That would have been a really interesting game. And also, it's kind of weird that they've just jumped forwards, because I thought there's two Call of Juarez games before this?
Yeah.
Or was it just one?
No, there's two.
Yeah.
There was one that was PC and Xbox, and then there was the one that was the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3.
Because my impression was they'd kind of slowly been moving forward in time. Not like a lot, but just like a little
bit. Oh, no, the second one was a prequel to the first one.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. But the way I thought was they'd been moving forwards, and maybe that they'd move a little bit further forwards, and you'd get like trains and stuff coming in, and you could have built
trains are in Call of Juarez.
Oh, okay.
Bound in Blood.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. But if you see what I mean, kind of like the slow advancement of technology. And you could have built a brilliant game series, like an alternate history game series around that concept that the Wild West never really ends, but you're seeing this advancement around them still coming, and also airships, because all alternate histories have airships.
Absolutely.
That is true.
You need zeppelins.
Yep.
It's just what happens, you know? It's the Hindenburg disaster never happens.
Yeah,
so,
never.
So there's still shitloads of zeppelins everywhere. You're awesome.
It's the only way to travel.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a very fast way of traveling anywhere. It's the only way to
and
travel.
Just surrounded by nuts.
Yeah, it's like Then it went to basically, Zeppelins are a brilliant way to travel if you don't really give a shit about when you get to your destination. But yeah, they're at some point, fuck it, whatever.
They're like cruise ships for the sky.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
And if all else fails, there's usually a plane attached to the bottom of them.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or just in Indiana Jones.
No, that's true.
Oh, okay.
Indiana Jones told me.
is that where you're basing like all your Zeppelin knowledge? Indiana Jones?
Yep.
That's a solid basis.
That's all you need to know. It's like Doreen Kindersley of the Zeppelin world.
Oh, that's fine then. Lewis, you've been watching The Orphanage.
The Orphanage.
Is that about orphans?
It is about orphans.
Sweet.
Have you not seen it?
No.
Oh,
it's a film. Of course I haven't seen it.
Have you seen it, Peter?
No.
It's from the... produced by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, cool.
And it's a Spanish, I wouldn't say horror. It's not a horror film. It's a very, very excellent thriller. And it's about this woman who has a son who is HIV positive. Well, it's not his son. They adopted him, and he's HIV positive. And she's an orphan herself, so she's gone back to the orphanage and bought it, and is going to use it as her house. But she's also going to adopt six other kids with learning difficulties. But when the boy with HIV gets there, Thomas, he starts having like imaginary friends, and they just put it down to him being a little kid and what have you.
And then
he goes missing, and they can't find him, and then years go by, and they never get over the fact that they've lost him. And the mum never stops looking for him. She so her marriage starts to fail. And then they get a weird sort of seance lady in the house to see if they can find him, because she starts suspecting supernatural things. And
that's
I don't
the
wanna...
first thing you think.
Yeah. And then I don't want to give it away, because it has the ending of it had one of those endings that makes you feel like you've been smacked in the chest. Really does make you feel it's just amazing ending that you don't see coming at all. And it's quite creepy, because the little boy's got this like scarecrow mask, and I don't like Hessian masks.
Oh,
they freak me out.
Okay.
Batman Begins. They're just one of the things that freaks me out.
thing to be freaked out about.
Yeah, I mean, that is a fairly specific fear.
Yeah.
I'm all right with murderers and rapists, but put on a Hessian mask and I'm fucked.
Yeah, no, they are freaky.
Yeah.
And he looks really freaky in it, and he's got really funny breath. And
I thought you said breasts then for a second.
Yes. There's 5-year-old boys with HIV. He's got funny breasts.
Well, they would be funny.
Yeah,
That would be odd. I'll give you that.
It's quite
also
gory.
Be quite creepy for the makeup woman that has to put them on.
Also true.
It's quite jumpy. And it's just superbly done. It's like I say, it came out, I think it was about a year or two after Pan's Labyrinth, and it's the same team. And it's just a superb film. So you definitely need to watch that. Because, like I say, it's got an ending that's absolutely superb, and it's got you know, in Pan's Labyrinth when he smashes the bloke in the face with a bottle.
Nope.
Ugh, yes, you don't. You know, Peter.
Never seen Pan's Labyrinth.
Chris, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
About Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
What about Pan's Labyrinth? I wasn't listening.
The bit where he smashes the bloke in the face with a bottle.
Oh yeah, that's not a good bit of Pan's Labyrinth.
It's not pleasant, is it?
That is rather unpleasant.
It's that it features that type of gore as well, and makeup. So it's really well done. Well, only briefly, but like for one section. But excuse me. Yeah, brilliant film.
Cool.
Still love it, and I've seen it about 5 times now. So watch it.
Should I watch Pan's Labyrinth?
Yes, you need to watch Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah,
like, I'm not even joking. That's every day you don't watch it, I'll lose respect for you.
How much is left to lose? Come on, I mean, be honest. I can't have that much in the bank.
You need to watch it. And it's one you can watch with Danielle as well.
Really? Danielle yeah, doesn't it's... have very good eyes.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she won't be able to read subtitles.
I can't do subtitles with Danielle.
No.
No.
In which case, next time Danielle's away, don't put on porn. Get Pan's Labyrinth.
Well, my porn's all got subtitles anyway.
Yeah, but surely you don't read them.
Well, it's hard. Well, my eyes all squinted up.
You'll go blind. Yeah, you definitely need to watch Pan's Labyrinth. And you also definitely need to watch The Orphanage. Or El Orfanato.
If these people would just make their films in English, it'd be a whole lot easier
exactly.
for my life.
It's don't, terrible.
Don't say
it's,
that.
It's ridiculous, really. Utterly ridiculous.
If I wanted you to make... read, I'd pick up a book.
You make me sick.
Okay.
Physically, violently, chundering, projectile, carrot lumpy, sick.
That's rather specific.
Mm. And I didn't even eat carrots.
Painting a word picture.
Yes.
Lovely.
Spuke.
Right. Was there anything else we wanted to discuss?
No.
Peter?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, did you... completely off-topic, random subject. Did you see on MTV they had a documentary about Amy Winehouse?
Oh, no. Was it good?
It featured loads of interviews during the Frank album days.
Right.
Where she was healthy, fuller figure.
Yep.
And it was just amazing to see the difference between that and how she ended up.
Yep.
I was a big fan anyway, but to see the interviews of her during those days where she was with it, she was intelligent and really, really nice in that. It was just mental to see the difference within a few years.
Yeah, and she was really quite pretty when she was younger and she was a bit healthier. She's quite a strange looking woman, but she had a sort of quite a weird sort of beauty about her.
A bohemian
thing. I've got a thing about women with tattoos as well.
And that was, I was having to talk to someone about that the other day. They were saying, oh, and the tattoos are shit. And I was like, individually, they were. But actually, if you look at the arm as a whole, it actually ended up being its own quite stylish piece of artwork.
Yeah. Some of her tattoos were quite nice. Some of the pin-up style stuff.
Yeah. But then there was that stupid horseshoe thing and the heart with Blake in it or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was complete off. I just wondered if anyone else saw it, that was all.
All right. Peter, are you done with the thing that I told you to go do?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's now live on the website.
Brilliant. That I think that's the best bit of news we've ever had.
Yeah. I genuinely want to see you wearing that hat.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back to like Thursday's posts and find something that's posted about 8:30 in the evening and you'll see what we mean. Right. Quiz time. Do we have a quiz?
Quiz time. We do.
Excellent.
There is a theme again, but I'm not going to tell you because if I told you it would be easier. So if you get the theme, then you get an extra point. How about that?
I'm back to writing on paper this week.
Oh. Yes.
What am I doing? Let me find my thing.
Down with the trees.
I'll find my thing.
Next week, I'm going to scratch it in Morrissey's back.
Morrissey is a cunt, isn't he?
He's a bloody cunt.
Yeah, he's just a tool.
Okay, yeah, so there is a theme, like I say. I'm not going to tell you, and if you work it out, you can have an extra point. It shouldn't be too hard to work out.
You say that every week.
No, this one really shouldn't. And these are pieces of music again, so just need to know the film from which they come. So let's kick things off.
You have a lot to live up to. Tough Cub's thing last week was awesome.
Yeah, all right, don't...
Pressure's on.
Yeah, okay, so, number one.
Hey, looky here. Uh-huh. You know, friends go abracadabra, let it rip, and then make the sucker disappear. Don't you sit there like your buggy hide. I'm here to answer all your business, man.
Wait, quickly, do we just want the film, or...?
Yeah, just the film. Okay, number... 2.
Is a military goal.
Is a military goal.
Is now a good time to point out that I am a vicious hatred of musical theatre.
This isn't musical theatre.
It all sounds a bit musical to me.
Well, it's... I mean, yeah, there are songs in these films, but...
Okay, carry on.
Number 3.
Somebody loved me. Everything was beautiful. Every hour spent together lives within my heart, and when she was sad, I was there to dry her tears.
Jesus Christ.
I know what the theme is, but this is hard.
Number 5. Number 6.
We dig, 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 and we mine the whole day through.
Number 7. Number
8. Oh, sorry. That's a quiet one.
Not playing ball.
That one's a tough shit.
Certain duties on board. What was that?
Number 8?
Yeah.
No, that can't be. That's got to be 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, that was number 7. You bunch of losers.
You said it was number 8. You've skipped number.
No, I haven't.
I think
you skipped number 4.
No, you skipped ahead at number 4. I thought you had.
Well, why didn't you say something?
Because I wasn't sure. You said so certain.
God's sake. I'm never certain of anything. Okay, number 8.
Bright lights, big city, that's where we gotta go. Where the food is great and the bugs are so pretty. I'd like to get my arms around 100 or so. I'd hug them, squeeze them, hold them tight. Sleep all day, dance all night.
Number 9. Extremely racist, this is.
We work all day, work all night. If a luxury no right, we're happy on this house of house.
Did you hear that one all right?
Yeah.
Okay, and number 10 goes to... Okay, that's all 10 of them. Anyone get the theme, first of all?
Yeah, the theme is Disney.
Disney yes. Is shit.
They are all Disney films.
But I got 4.
I got the theme as well, because I fucking hate Disney. And I got,
ooh.
I guessed 5.
Number 1.
Is it Aladdin? No idea. But I'm not sure.
It is Aladdin.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Shit movie.
Oh, shut up.
It's a shit movie.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It's shit.
No, it's not.
And that's a bit racist.
No, it's not.
If you like Aladdin, then the terrorists have won.
You lie.
That's the way it is.
You've got no heart. Number two.
I didn't get anything for two.
No.
Jungle Book.
Shit.
Oh, fuck.
Peter, I will fly over to Belfast.
It's shit. The Jungle Book is shit.
No, it's not. How can you say that? Of course it is. How? It's
fucking awful.
How?
Just is.
No, it's
just
not.
Just a terrible movie.
The Jungle Book is fucking amazing.
It is an all-time classic.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an all-time racist classic.
Oh, yeah, no. To be fair, the Jungle Book is super racist, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, but that was of an era when Disney was racist.
Well, it was an era where like everyone was racist, to be fair.
Doesn't make it right.
Well, no, it doesn't make it right by our standards now, but at the time it was accepted.
Number three.
Is it
probably
Toy
something else starring the Ku Klux Klan?
Is it from Toy Story 2?
It is Toy Story 2.
Jesse's song. Yeah.
Yep. 3-1 to Chris. Number four.
Is it Mulan from the end of Mulan? But I'm not positive.
It's not.
Oh fuck! What? Peter won't
Peter?
Know.
No idea.
What's
number
it from?
Four was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh no, that I got that. Oh, number four.
Yeah, of course you did.
But then because you skipped ahead one, I thought that was number five.
No.
Oh, we should have gone back and renumbered. I did.
Well, I didn't.
Okay, so we'll give you that one.
All right.
It was the first one I knew. And when I heard that, I thought, yeah, that sounds like the previous three or four must have been shit Disney movies.
Mm.
And that's why I don't know what they are. Because I don't watch shit Disney movies. Because even when I was a child and Disney movies were aimed at me, I thought they were too shit to watch.
You're such a cunt. 3-2 to Chris. Number five.
Is that Snow White?
I got Snow White from one of them about digging, but I've not a fucking clue what the numbers are now.
That is Snow White. So yeah. That's 4-3 to Chris. Number eight. No, number.
You're doing
seven.
It again.
No,
number six.
Was this the dancey one?
Is that from Tron 2?
Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy. I'll give you that one, Chris.
Okay.
5-4. Number seven.
I haven't a clue.
No, I haven't got anything till 10 now.
Seven was Lion King.
Lion King was all right.
Lion King was good. I should have got
that's
that.
That's all you can fucking, muster up fucking for one of the greatest animation films of all time.
Mm.
Yeah. Me and you need to have serious words, Sunshine.
Lion King was all right. Especially the monkey that hit people with his stick.
Rafiki.
Yeah, he was my favourite bit.
Rafiki is
it's
awesome.
A girl.
It was a girl?
No, Rafiki's a... Rafiki's a boy, isn't he?
No, Rafiki is a girl.
All right, fair enough.
Sounds like a man, but it's a girl.
Right.
5-4, number 8.
Didn't get it.
No.
James and the Giante Peach.
Oh, I did get that.
That was a good book.
You did get it.
Yeah, I got mixed up on numbering. Fuck, yeah. 8 is James and the Giant Peach.
Okay, so 6-4. Number 9?
Was number 9 Dumbo?
Number 9 was Dumbo, which is extremely racist.
Was that the bit where they got all the black people to put the circus up for them?
Yeah. Yeah, and they're all saying, we never bothered to learn to read or write.
Mm.
We love putting up circuses. We blow all our pay when we get it.
Yeah.
Was
Dumbo the film that had the crows in it as well, that were modelled on the Beatles?
No.
No, that was the vegetables?
There's the vultures in the Jungle
Book.
Yeah. That were modelled on the Beatles.
Yeah.
Because
really
Walt Disney hated the Beatles because he thought they were communists. So he made them into criminals in his film.
They're all criminals.
Because Walt Disney's a fucker.
That's 6-5 to me.
6-5 to Chris. And number 10.
I haven't got anything.
For number 10, I wrote down High School Musical because I knew what the theme was by now and it's just shit enough to have made it into this quiz.
Fuck, why didn't I think of that? It's so obvious. Of course,
I reckon
it's High School Musical.
Next week, you need to do one.
Was I right? Was it High School Musical?
No.
Oh, is it not High School Musical?
No.
Sweet, I win!
I'm just saying. I'm getting abuse from Peter today because he doesn't agree with the subject.
What is it then?
So next week, he should do it.
What is it if it's not High School Musical?
That was Hocus Pocus.
Oh, Hocus Pocus.
I won.
With Indiana.
Wait, no. I won where Peter was actually playing.
Yeah.
Normally I only beat people filling in for Peter.
It's not much of a victory, though, Chris, to be honest.
Still won. I don't give a shit. I won.
It's like, I don't know.
Shut your face. Don't hear another word out of you.
Think of better quizzes.
You make one!
Okay.
Go on then.
Well, not right now.
Yeah, no. Go on then. Next week you do one.
Right, I'll do a quiz for next week.
Cool. I look forward to it.
It'll be exceptional.
No, it's not. It's going to be all about Star Wars.
Yeah, it probably is. You might want to watch them. Catch up on your Star Wars knowledge.
I'd rather not. I'd rather staple my eyelids to the table.
I'll staple your eyelids to the table.
They're overrated and no longer have a place in the film history.
They no longer have a place in history? All that watching Disney's made you want to rewrite history.
They have lost their edge now, though. Nope. They're no longer as important as they once were.
They haven't. Still important.
They're not.
Yep. Inspired a generation of cinema.
They're important to show a generation why you should never touch CGI.
Yeah, it's true.
Even the original trilogy. Oh no, we couldn't let that be. We have to ruin that as well.
Yeah. Oh yes. Okay, fair enough. Let me make it clear. When I say Star Wars, I mean the Star Wars trilogy, not those fucking abortions that they released in 2000.
I don't mean the
special editions.
Yeah, we're talking the original originals. The cinematic 70s and 80s releases. Originals. Yeah. But they're so long gone and long forgotten.
Yeah. And every couple of years, George Lucas humps them from behind. Get a few more quid out of them.
Yeah.
Cunt. And then splooges it with CGI. Look what I like to do on my computer. I'm now going to put this into every single scene possible in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was 5 minutes in Star Wars when Greedo shot first and then Han Solo went and stood on Jabba's tail.
Yeah.
It was at that point when I started thinking I would quite like to murder George Lucas.
Even the space battle scenes, like the revamped X-Wing like gathering outside that planet.
Oh yeah, when they put more ships on
compared to the models.
Yeah, I think because of the time that he did the special editions, the CGI wasn't up to scratch. He rushed at it to try and make more money.
Yeah,
because George Lucas is a cock.
Mm.
Right. Anyway, moving on from anger at George Lucas, which is well placed. Time for questions.
Questions.
That was nicely done. I wasn't expecting that at all.
That was harmony.
Yeah, brilliant. Alright, we've got quite a few in here.
Oh, I've got a couple as well.
You got a couple as well.
There's fucking shitloads on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, there's shitloads on Twitter. Did you do a forum thread again?
No, I didn't do that this week, I forgot. Right,
fair enough.
Sorry, forum people. Question time.
Question time.
Right,
can we go with one of mine first?
Well, I was going to use two from Tough Cup because he did some quite a while ago, and then you can do yours.
And because we love and adore Tough Cup.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. I was going to give a shout out to Tough Cup. He's been doing fantastic work on the site recently. That's not to say that everyone else is doing badly, but Tough Cup is very strongly in my good books at the minute, as is Dan Lee.
Yeah, Dan's always in the good books. Dan is the book.
Well, Dan Lee is just a fucking... He's some kind of reviewing machine. Like, he'll put two reviews in depending in the same day.
Yep.
It's fucking... I don't know how he does it.
And he has a child.
Yeah. That child must be fucking neglected. That's what I think.
Probably is.
I think the child plays the games for him. I think his son plays the games for him. And Dan just sits and watches. And he writes as his son's playing.
No, all he does is genius. He has his son playing one game and he's playing the other game. And just kind of like switching his attention between them.
Yep.
Allegedly, he keeps Jay in a cage and just throws him crumbs every now and then.
I don't know. I've seen photographs of Jay. I think he could probably burst his way out of a cage. Wrap it round his dad's neck.
I wish he would.
Like a Lee family cage match.
Read it then.
Sorry. Yes. Questions. Firstly, Tough Cub. He's got two. Firstly, Tough Cub says,
Yes, it's
two questions. firstly, sensible question. If Lewis is a PS3, what the fuck is he doing watching DVDs rather than Blu-rays? You did answer this on Twitter, but we'll do
I did, yeah. Off. First of all, I can't find my PS3. And second of all, I've got a Blu-ray player that came with the TV. So I don't need to find the PlayStation to play Blu-rays.
Yeah.
And thirdly, they're still not cheap enough. I'm not paying 20 quid. As much as I am a film lover, I'm not prepared to pay that amount of money. And there's still only a handful of films that need to be seen in Blu-ray, like Inception or Transformers, whatever. I've got Blade Runner and I've got a couple of older ones as well. But not every film needs to be seen in Blu-ray, and the Blu-ray player also upscales standard DVDs, so you get a really good quality picture anyway. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Alright. Cool.
Papa Bear.
And to follow up with that, Tom H. Lord also says, at least the PS3 also upscales DVDs, which does kind of make it worth it. Tough Cub's other question, why am I reading this? I hate myself. Fuck's sake. If 4 4s are frozen, how long will it take 4 4s to 4?
If 4 4s were frozen, how long would it take 4 4s to 4?
Yeah. Right, I'll do this and explain.
That just sounds like you've got a real bad stammer.
If there was a quantity, if there was
what you should do, Chris?
Yeah.
Every word that's got a TH, you should pronounce it like an Irish person. So, 4 tours.
All right. If 4 tours...
Then we'll take the piss out of that instead. I'm not even tempted to help him say it properly. This is too funny.
Okay. If there were 4, and that is the number, 4s, that's the character, are frozen. So that would be a quad... of the character 4, how long will it take those 4, again that's a number, so again the quad of 4s, to 4, which is to melt. How will it take, long will it take you to melt? Alright.
Probably well, not as all, long as we're going to spend laughing at you.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed the question.
You bastard. No, I'm not repeating the question. And the answer is it wouldn't take very long at all, because as a god who has battled ice giants, he is quite capable of breaking out of ice.
Why would there be 4 Lewis, of them?
I don't know. That makes no sense. Lewis,
what would Thor shout if he went play golf? It just seems very arrogant that he'd stand there and shout his own name.
The thing is, as well, I know the answer to this, and I'll still get mocked because it has... a word I cannot say correctly in it. So,
what do you mean you know the answer to it?
Well, clearly he'd say 4 Asgard.
What? Oh.
Right.
Next.
Next is Lewis doing his email questions. And there's the guy at the competition dude.
Yes, so I got one from the winner of the competition. Who said, I would like each of you to recommend a hidden gem that you are sure not many people know about. A game from Peter, a movie from me, and a comic from Chris.
Ooh.
Hidden gem, okay.
Cool. That's a really good question.
That is a really good question.
That dude should write those questions every week.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Okay, I'm thinking. So it can't be anything obvious then. What is a good hidden gem?
See, it depends what... not many people, because I've obviously ranted around and forced people to go and watch it as well, but I still don't think it's widely known, and I would have to say again Mary and Max.
Yeah, I'll second
that's
that.
That's a good one, yeah.
That's a film, by the way, a claymation film, if you want to watch that, Ben. Daniel, whatever your name is. He's got Daniel, and his surname's Ben, and he's called Danny Ken, so make up your mind. We'll call him Steve. Comic. Have anyone thought? Peter, have you thought of a game?
It's really hard because anything that's decent gets talked about an awful lot. There is a. I would say if you like racing games, there's Pure would be one to look out for. that didn't do particularly well and is now really cheap. There is a game that I've been playing that I can't remember the name of it on Steam, which is really good. I'll try and remember the name of it and get back. By remember, I mean I'll Google for it.
Okay. I got two recommendations. I got kind of three recommendations, but I'm trying to work out which would be I'd class as the most hidden. Could be that or that or that. Well, the three I was going to say was I'd say zombie, that's spelled with an X and no E, Scarlet, but those are both quite well known. So one I'd go for is I Kill Giants, which I've talked about on this podcast in the past. On like maybe episode 5 or something, fucking ages ago. That's utterly fantastic. Kind of done in a half manga. Well, no, I wouldn't say manga. It's black and white though. It's absolutely brilliant. It's all about metaphors and this girl dealing with her mother's battle with cancer. And actually helped me back thinking a lot about sort of the people I've lost to cancer. And kind of thinks back and you think back on it a bit. In a positive light rather than negative light, which is always good. Yeah, and I'd actually recommend anyone who is having troubles with death or has a very ill member of your family or something, go read that book, I Kill Giants. Absolutely brilliant. And I guarantee it will help you through.
I would say Brian Lee O'Malley's first book, Out to Sea, as well. Or All at Sea, is very good. And not many people know it, and it's the guy that wrote Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah.
For a comic book. It's really good. And then if you like something a little bit funny and sort of kind of superhero-y, but kind of cutesy, then G-Man Cape Crisis is brilliant.
I really want to read that.
Yeah, it's really good. You should. I think it's on Comixology as well. Mm. The game that I was talking about on Steam is like a turn-based shooter. It's called Frozen Synapse.
Oh, I've heard about that. That's maybe really good.
Really, really clever, really good. You guide like a squad of men with different guns. But you do it in turn. So you take a turn, you tell them, you sort of set waypoints and tell them where to go to. And you can make them look in certain directions and shoot and all that sort of stuff. And then your enemies will come in from a certain direction and they're doing the same thing. So you set it up in turns. And then at the end of, like, when somebody wins, you can watch back the whole time. It's really it's weird to explain it because it's an odd concept. But it works really well. It's very, very good. I just have to open Steam to find out the name of that.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then I got a couple from Hazlam.
Who also deserves a shout out because every week she listens to the podcast and every week she comments in the podcast thread.
Yeah.
And quite a massive comment as well.
Yeah. And I love getting comments in the podcast thread. Because people generally don't, because it takes 2 hours to listen to a podcast.
And she asks, firstly, if you could work with any developer and make any game you wanted, who would it be and what game?
Oh, that's a good... We're getting really good questions this week. That's a really good question.
I would say either Naughty Dog or that game company.
Yeah, I think that game company.
I think that game company or Miyamoto.
Or actually, Valve would be really cool to work for.
Valve would be cool to work for. Yeah.
Valve are a really cool company.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
And what would your... If you could make any game you wanted, what would it be about?
Oh, Jesus, fuck knows.
Yeah.
That's way too hard. If I could think of a good idea for a game, I'd be making games.
See, that's why I chose that game company, because I got a really weird idea about Shadows that... I can't get quite fully formed in my head, but I think that game company would be the ones to turn to for something a bit out there.
For a weird idea that's not quite fully formed.
Yeah. And her second question is, if you could live in any game universe, which one would you choose? I think I'd choose the Mass Effect universe.
Oh, yeah. Is that her that said that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll move in next to you.
Difficult one. See, part of me wants to say God of War, but you just end up dying. Kratos just kill you.
Yep. That's what Kratos does. That's how he do.
That's how he rolls. I'd Fallout.
Oh, yeah, that's a fucking wonderful universe to live in.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I would love that.
Radiation and mutated animals.
Yeah, but it'd be awesome. How long did you spend playing Fallout?
Fucking Deathclaws.
How long did you spend playing Fallout?
Fallout 3, I think I've spent like 85, 90 hours on it.
Right, well, there you go. You're pretty much in it anyway. Well, same as me. I would love it.
But I spent longer than that playing my own life. Although probably not that week.
Yep.
Chris, presumably Halo?
Yeah, probably Halo. I like Halo. Halo is awesome.
Halo, Halo, Halo.
All right, you got another one?
Nope, that's it.
Cool. Okay, back to the Twitter questions. Dan Lee says, what do we think about Dudon Patchy Resurrection heading to Europe? And apparently, if we don't think it's awesome, that then he is going on a news posting strike. So clearly, it's fucking awesome. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Best game ever. No idea what the hell it is, but I don't want Dan to go on strike.
No one's ever heard of it before. No one's ever going to hear of it when it comes out, even. So, sorry, Dan.
But it's amazing.
Fuck off, you.
Yeah. Dan's not going on strike.
Awesome news, Dan.
It's shit. Yeah.
Whatever you like. It is actually. It's, a lot of people are really looking forward to this, but it's one of those. It's a weird game and it's not really my sort of thing, but there are an awful lot of people that have been wanting it, so it is quite good news.
Yeah. That's not what you said before the podcast.
Yeah. Before the podcast, I was just ranting.
Next up, Captain Murdo says, what do we think of Marvel scheme? They've done this before, where basically if retailers tear the cover off 50 DC books from a list they provide, they get like a free variant book in future.
Oh, I read about that. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Fucking dicks.
They're dicks. And also, as someone pointed out, I actually think it's quite cool. It's a fairly inventive thing, and it also means that if retailers have because you're allowed any combination of covers, if retailers have unsold books, they can be returned, because you're not allowed to return them to DC, so they can just tear the covers. They can tear the covers, return them to send them back to Marvel to get the free variant, and then on Free Comics Book Day, because they've only lost the cover, you don't have to send in the whole book. On Free Comics Book Day next year, they can just give them away. Done. Brilliant. So it's kind of a win. It's weird because it's a win for Marvel. The only person it's a loss for is Marvel, because they're giving away free stuff and they're not really damaging DC in any real way, because retailers are only going to give away books that aren't going to sell. It's a win for retailers because they're getting free stuff. It's a win for DC because it's not going to hurt their sales figures at all. So, fuck it.
I still, even listening to that, I still think it's a bit of an underhanded.
Yeah, you make a perfectly reasonable case, Chris, but it's still a bit of a dick move.
Yeah, it's a little bit, but DC have done similar stuff for giving out.
It's like it would be the equivalent of like when the Red Ring of Death stuff was all at its height. If Sony had said, if you bring us 10 broken Xboxes, then we'll sell you a PlayStation at half price. It's reveling in the failures of your competitors.
And it's not even the failures of your competitors. Marvel are just blatantly asking them to deface DC's hard work. Even if you don't like the comics, it's still somebody's hard work that's gone into it. And even if they haven't sold, or whatever reason that you just described, you still shouldn't, as a business, and somebody else in that business that is struggling for whatever reasons, you should be starting to come together rather than being
respect for the artwork.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rather than encouraging shops to rip them apart and whatever. Mm. I think it's a bit wrong.
But it makes an interesting story and it grabs some headlines.
Yeah.
So it's all PR.
Yeah, I know that DC have done similar stuff as well. They do it to each other all the time. It's just a weird thing. It's a really odd move because it doesn't really have any real benefits for anyone apart from the retailer.
It's just a PR stunt.
Yeah, it's basically just a PR stunt. Teflon says, if you guys had change... What? Oh, if you guys had... He's missing words out of this sentence. If you guys had to change your names to something else, what would you change them to?
Morgan Freeman.
When I was a kid, like when I was about 7, I actually seriously wanted to change my middle name to Michelangelo.
Oh, God. Peter Michelangelo Chapman.
Yeah.
Oh. I've always wanted to be called Xavier. I think it's just because of the X.
It would make signing your name easier. Chris, no ideas, no?
I used to kind of want to change my...
He'd like to change his name to Christopher.
I used to kind of want to change my surname, but I never really decided what to. But that's only because my surname's kind of awkward.
Yeah, you'd have to get married.
I'm not sure that's how it works.
To a man.
I guess I could take my wife's name. That's not that weird.
Yeah, you could.
What's your wife's name? You've it's a dangerous game. You can't take that name if it's like, I don't know, shit face.
I have someone in mind, but no comment.
Delia Smith?
No. Peter, you retweeted someone, but you didn't say who it was a retweet from.
Oh, it was from Jason.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember him saying this. As a gaming writer with PR connections, which do you personally feel is better, breaking the news or reading the breaking news? Which would work, except me and Peter don't really break news very often.
I do a bit of news now.
You do a bit. I don't ever break news. I wrote a news post like 2 years ago once.
Yeah. It's nice. I don't know. I've never been... I'm not very good at writing news.
No, that's why I don't write news. I'm shit.
I tend to get a news story and go, oh, this is a news story. I'll write what my opinion on the story is.
Yep.
And end up writing like 800 words and then everybody turns up and goes, yeah, too long. I'm not reading that shit. Mm. So I'm not very good at it. But it is sometimes when you get some news that quite often we have bits of news that we don't break and you're sort of sitting on it for a few days and it is quite exciting to see if it's going to leak out somewhere or what's going to happen with it. And then when you get to announce it or when you finally you've got everything sort of lined up and you can break the news, it is quite interesting. But then sometimes it is very nice just to sit back and watch the whole fucking internet explode at some news that somebody else has broken.
Yeah, I love that. That's kind of why I love E3. I hate writing about E3 because it's tiring and exhausting and you just kind of want, by the end of the first night, and we're not even actually at the show, we're just sitting here at home and you still just want to be asleep. But it is fucking brilliant to watch and to like feel like you're a tiny little part of is absolutely amazing.
The thing I always found, obviously was only with you guys for a year, wasn't I? But even the other day when you did the Journey thing, I don't know if he's grouping them all under the same banner, but I find the features, the exclusive features more exciting, like your interview with Journey you had the other day, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm.
I find that because it's not a news piece that everyone else has, or everyone else will get to hear about. It's specific to you guys, so you've sat down and had that interview with them.
Yeah,
I find that hugely. I find that hugely exciting, but also I'm very biased because I'm features editor. So obviously I love features. features are where it's at.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I have nothing but respect for the news team because I can't fucking do that. I can't keep up with stuff like they do. And
oh, I'm not disrespecting the news team at all. Yeah,
I'm just saying from my perspective, and I literally, I'm worse at writing news stories than Peter. I just can't do it. I try keeping stuff to 200 words and suddenly it's like an hour later and the news is already everywhere.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Because it's hard, I find it's really hard to strike a balance because you have to say something. And
I think that's, it also depends because I'm guessing you guys and Dan and what have you will have a contacts list as long as your arm where you could probably source bits of news from.
Yeah.
Whereas the basic reporter may only use a set number of sources that again break at the same time as everyone else. So
yeah, at one point I had an RSS reader set up with all the places or most of the places that I would use for news sources at the time, and it was getting over 1,000 items a day through it.
Yeah.
I ended up having to basically switch that off because it is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is quite difficult to keep up.
There needs to be
why Dan's so fantastic. Dan's amazing at that.
And Tough Cup as well. I don't know how they both do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
And the thing is, they've got quite involved jobs as well, where they need to be focused. I always think, because Dan draws lines on a map, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does something with building and surveying and that sort of shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
I reckon someone's house is about to fall down.
Yeah.
Because he's broke a new story and forgot to put a wall somewhere or something.
Yep, that's totally true. all right, I got three questions from CC, but they're quite involved questions, so I'm going to pick one. It's one question, just kind of split out. Oh, that's really hard to do, though. We need to go to some of this link. He basically says, MCV have a list of 20 games that will save in speech marks Christmas. 18 of them are sequels, one is Mario and one is Zumba. Is this a problem or not? Those 20 titles will gain 50% of the total retail gaming sales for the whole of 2011. With retail buyers and by default marketing to you, focusing on those 20 titles to make up 50%, blah, blah, blah. What chance does any other title have when it's... Basically, what chance do other titles have if they're not on this list of 20 awesome titles? Do you want to know what the 20 titles are?
Yeah, I'm just looking. I have a copy of MCV here. I'm just looking for the feature, innit?
Well, it's Zumba, Super Mario, Battlefield 3, Just Dance 3, Gears of War 3, Assassin's Creed Revelation, Mario and Sonic at the 2012 Olympics. Is that coming out as Christmas? Weird. LA Noire. How's that going to save Christmas? I guess maybe. Like people buying it again at Christmas. Saints Row the Third. Need for Speed The Run, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Batman Arkham City, Harry Potter, the newest one. Oh no, Lego Harry Potter, which I guess would be like the last couple of films. F1 2011, FIFA 2012, Halo Anniversary, whatever the next Zelda game. Is that Skyward Sword? Yes, Skyward Sword. Uncharted 3, Call of Duty Black Ops, and Skyrim. Which is a pretty comprehensive list.
Yeah.
Basically the question is, compared to those like gigantic titles, what hope does any other game have?
I think for a lot of studios now, it's about embarking on a franchise. Mm. So for example, like THQ with Homefront, which I didn't think was a particularly good game. Mm. But it's the start of a franchise for them. And they did the same thing a couple of years ago with Metro 2033. They put the first one out and they market it a little bit. They try and get some sort of support within the core of the community. And then they can invest a bit in the second one. So I think it kind of builds over time. And it's the same thing that happens with movies. You know, the second and third tend to make more at the box office than the first does.
Yep, exactly.
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing as long as we still see the investment in smaller titles. And I think the digital marketplaces are... picking up that mantle quite successfully with things like Limbo coming out and even like From Dust that came out this week. And they're the sort of games that you couldn't really get away with on disc, but in the download space, they have the potential to do really well. And keep the developers going. But I think it is a bit of a concern that studios, some publishers tend to have or seem to have stopped trying, really. So they will just bank on their big names.
Yeah.
For example, this year, Activision closed studios that had new IPs last year. And they're investing that money in their sequels for this year.
Hmm.
I agree with that. It's a shame that new IP does seem to be strangled by the established franchises. But I have to hold my hand up and say I'm guilty of buying them, because they're either Battlefield 3, Skyrim, Arkham City. I've got a real interest in all of those, so I'll probably be buying them. So I'm, along with millions of other people, are adding fuel to the fire, aren't we, really?
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, Batman Arkham City is a good example. That was a new IP 2 years ago.
Yes.
Or last, was it last? No, it was 2 years ago. With Arkham Asylum, and it was really good. And I think it sold really well, and it got a lot of praise. People bought it because it was a great game. I think if studios have the idea and they put the work in, and then the publishers put the marketing money in, I think we can still get new IP that is successful. I think that because of the downturn in the market, and the video games market at the minute is pretty much an all-time low, I think that studios are playing it safe, and they'll do that this year and maybe next year, and then we might start to see some more investment in ideas rather than continuation. So yeah, it would be really nice to see more new IP, but you can kind of understand why they're banking on safe titles.
Yeah. But I'd quite like to see, even if they have to base it within an established franchise, is new ideas. I wasn't a fan of Bioshock 2, but the Bioshock Infinite, the direction that's taken, seems to be quite an interesting new sort of direction for them. Do you know what I mean? Rather than you can keep the name, but you could also invest in new ideas, new techniques, mechanisms, and what have you to make it stand out.
Or you can keep the name and end up putting your Western shooter in modern day Los Angeles and it turns out shit.
Exactly. But then I suppose the other's true, because THQ have just got rid of Red Faction, haven't they?
Yes.
And that was doing all right for itself.
Well, it was doing all right, but then the latest one was not great.
Was it not good? I never played, never got around to playing it, but I liked Armageddon a lot.
Yeah, was that was the open world one, wasn't it?
That's the one where you just went around smashing.
Oh, no, that was Guerrilla was the open world one.
Guerrilla.
The new
Guerrilla
one's Armageddon.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, Red Faction Guerrilla was the same franchise. It was essentially a sequel, but it was a completely different thing. It was third person, then it was open world. So, yeah. But I think
new engines.
Because the market banks so much on names that they know, it's hard for anybody to deviate from that path, but that's just the way the market is.
Yep, and the market is fecking crazy at the minute.
Terrible high streets dying.
Yep.
But downloads are doing well.
Next question from Night Swords, who's watchful on TSA. He's Greg. He's lovely. Really good writer.
Greg.
Love Greg. Says, I claim, not as in me, not him. So Chris claims not to have played Bastion this week. Does he have a good excuse? Yeah, I was editing stuff and then I slept. Maybe. And
what's Bastion?
This game. It's pretty cool. It's like a RPG, but you're narrated all the way through. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Why didn't I play it? Saturday, I edited a bunch of stuff, and set some projects into motion, which you're seeing at the minute with like, TSA recap stuff. Sunday, I couldn't be fucked to get out of bed till like 1 o'clock, and then like half the day was gone. And then I didn't really have time to play anything, which kind of pissed me off, because it pissed myself off for not getting up and not doing anything.
I hate that. Yeah, when you sleep in too long and then you're annoyed with yourself all day.
It's fucking irritating. That's basically my excuse. Was I was editing TSA and editing this podcast on Saturday, and then on Sunday I just couldn't be fucked. The rest of the week. This week has been a bit crazy because we've got like the extra feature running, and it's going to be the same for about the next month. But it's cool because that feature's really awesome, the TSA recap thing, and I'm really enjoying it. And then I need to find time to sleep sometimes.
Haven't played Bastion either.
But I haven't played anything because he emailed me for what we played and I said nothing. Everyone played Bastion and something else that I can't remember. I think I said maybe Bastion and Miss Explosion Man. And finally, final question. Oh no, I got one in email that I forgot about. I'll do the email one and do Blair's one last. Seeing as the 3DS has some negative reaction to the pricing, how would you want Sony to handle the price of Vita games? And that's from Vogonlight.
How would I want Sony to handle the pricing of Vita games?
Yes.
not make them £40 each.
Yes, that would be a solution.
Basically, the 3DS, those games should never have been 40 quid to start with. That was far too expensive for the experience, and people now are not used to paying. People don't want to pay that sort of premium for a game that's on a handheld device because people have got used to buying apps for the iPhone and for buying like minis for the PSP, and generally even DS games were down to like 25 quid, 30 quid when they were brand new. So people aren't used to it, so they're not willing to pay that, and it will hurt sales if you price it at that.
Yeah.
I think the Vita they're talking about, which I think is a mistake, they're talking about these big sort of home console experiences on a small portable device, which didn't work when they tried it with a PSP, but they're going to try it again with the Vita, and it's not going to work again. Yeah. But I think if they get the pricing right on their digital download store and the Android stuff with the PlayStation Suite that the Vita will be compatible with, I think that could be massively successful.
Yeah, totally.
Basically, it has to be a similar sort of price, maybe a little bit cheaper than the PSN for the PlayStation 3, for a similar sort of game, sort of smaller, dip in and out, non-time sensitive games. And you can still have them. I mean, they are still going to do the big full, like the Uncharted and the all those games, Wipeout and all that sort of shit. But
yeah,
when they did that for the PSP, it was not successful. You know, they sold reasonably well. People enjoyed them. They made some fucking great games. Those God of War games for the PSP are probably better than the PlayStation 3 versions.
Yeah,
they're
awesome.
But financially speaking, from a market perspective, it didn't work. The PSP was a bit of a damp squib for them. And the Vita has so much potential that they're going to have to get the pricing right to meet that potential. And I think the way you get pricing right is to make things cheap. That's how, you know, people have made millions on the Apple stuff, because you price it cheap and you sell fucking shitloads of them.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if any of Sony's first-party developers made more money last year than the people that made Angry Birds.
Yep.
So,
I'd be exceptionally surprised.
So that's what I think they should do with the pricing. They should make them cheap. Vita games should be probably in the UK maybe 30 quid. Which is probably like €40, $40, would make sense, I think, for those big, full games. And then like under a tenner for the download games. That's what I'd do. But that, we'll see what that, Sony do.
That sounds like a fairly sane... Okay.
We'll see. And I mean, to their credit, Sony have been, like, people slag off the prices of the digital downloads for the PSP. Sony's first-party stuff has always been priced really quite well. You know, like Modnation Racers, when it came out, was like 16, 17 quid, I think. Brand new to download from the PSN, and it was like 25 to buy on UMD from the shops.
Yeah.
So Sony's first-party pricing for the digital downloads for their own machines, they do seem to realise what they have to do, and they are getting it a little bit more accurate.
Yeah.
But obviously the third-party shit that goes on with the PSP is ridiculous. And with the PlayStation 3, for that matter. I mean, 57 quid for that Red Faction game was ridiculous. So, yeah, that's my rant over. Carry on.
You are good at rants.
Yeah.
See, I tried to write a rant this morning with that thing I wrote about thingamajigs, spin-off games and spin-off media. And it kind of turned out to be quite thoughtful and that sort of thing, rather than being ranty.
Pensive.
I was quite angry about mostly I was just angry. I couldn't really write about it in the article, but I guess I can say it here. I was fairly angry about Ubisoft's timing with the Assassin's Creed stuff, because it was just fucking stupid.
Just because it was too close to itself?
Yeah, it was like 2 days in a row. Who does that?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we have all this really cool content. We could spread this out and do like one, like at least one week, one the next week, maybe generate like a little buzz, build it up, or we could just stick them next. Yes, just do them one day after the other, it'll be fine. Like, yep. What are you doing?
They might have something else really cool for next week. This might be them building buzz.
Yeah.
No, it's not though, is it?
No, not at all.
No.
It's someone in marketing going, oh God, all we have is Assassin's Creed. I guess with that rabbits thing as well, but mostly Assassin's Creed. Fuck. Something. Put
Ubisoft,
something about
Ubisoft have got a fucking great lineup coming. Driver San Francisco.
Yeah, I know.
Far Cry 3.
I know. Everything I say. You expect me to say things that are real and not just hyperbole.
See, that's the way you do a rant. Yeah. Ignore the truth.
just lie.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
The only thing Ubisoft are releasing in the next calendar year is Assassin's Creed related. So yeah. They're going to milk that fucker dry.
They have Assassin's Creed, and, well, to be fair, the only thing they have in the next year that they know is going to be a guaranteed hit is Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, for the HD consoles. Their rabbit stuff's going to be fucking massive with the preteens.
Oh no, that's coming out on HD, it's coming to Kinect, isn't it? And you can stomp him, remember? The dude at E3 stomping him, the man with the massive beard.
Yes, but we don't include Kinect as HD. Even though it's in HD, Kinect is.
But he had a good beard, though.
He did, he had a monster beard.
That was a pretty good beard. That was like waist-length beard.
Yeah.
That was a good beard, man.
That was the sort of beard that ZZ Top would send him over a drink.
They'd be like, yeah, well done. We approve.
Yep.
Final question from My Name is Blair, Mr. Blair Ingalls, who is rather a lovely gentleman. He's not a gentleman
Blair
at all.
Or...
He's not a gentleman, though. He's a cunt, but... he says, could we talk about Forza some? Or Forza? I don't know which. Is it Forza or Forza?
I say Forza.
Okay, fair enough. I imagine put it.
Could be wrong.
Well, I think in because it's Italian, isn't it? I think you're meant to put the accent on the Z.
Yeah, Forza.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, talk about Forza. That game, racing.
Forza.
You've been playing.
I'm not Italian. So
yeah, but you've been playing it a lot.
I
bought it to play it, and I thought it was like just you and Blair and Al. It turns out there's like eight people playing it or something, and now I'm really scared.
Yeah, there's a couple of Blair's friends from that are on
oh
Twitter
God,
that we sort of know a bit.
That's too many people. I don't like
Greg's
this.
Greg's talking about getting involved now. Dan bought Forza last week, so he's involved.
Can I just meet you all and not talk to you?
Oh, nobody fucking talks. There's
oh, that's
no
fine.
Headsets going
oh,
on.
Oh, that's fine then. Oh, yeah, I was really worried. I thought there were headsets.
Well, because Dan doesn't want to wake up his son, and Alex has got the baby. Quite often I'm sitting here with my wife in the same room, or like people in the next room. Nobody wants to upset other people. So
oh, Jesus, that's fine.
And there doesn't really need to be that much talking, because basically what we do is play tag. I never knew this existed in Forza before this week, whenever Blair and Colin Barr were playing, and they said, come and play Forza with us, and I went, fuck it, and got the disc out, and away we went. They were playing tag with cars. It's the most fun I've ever had online in anything, ever. Oh. And I've had some pretty wild times with online streaming services. Yeah.
Oh, you're
Forza
bad
Tag
man.
Is fucking amazing. It's I can't overstate this. It's a simple concept. You play tag with cars. But there is so much fun in that.
All right, well, it should be coming. I'm hoping it's going to come Saturday.
Even I was playing with Blair and Alex and Dan the other night, and my wife sat here and watched the whole time. I was playing for like an hour, and she sat and watched it the whole time because it was so funny.
Is it literally just to tag someone, you just collide into them?
You just crash into them, and awesome. Then they're it. And then you get the fuck out of there as quick as you can so that they don't get you back.
That does sound kind of fun.
So yeah, and pretty much most of the hilarity revolves around slamming your brakes on and watching Blair go screaming past you. When he's it and he gets really close and he's chasing you and he gets really close and then you just swerve and slam the brakes on and he goes screaming past.
Oh, does it matter that I can't drive in Forza?
No, I'm not particularly good at driving. Dan joined in with tag and he'd only bought the game like 4 hours earlier, so... It really just doesn't matter.
That's right. I tried the demo and it only worked if I had all the assists turned on.
Turn some of the assists on. It's really, really difficult to drive with no assists, so just turn some of the assists on and you'll work out what's the best setup for you and away you go.
I also got bored when I turned all the assists on and just tried to fuck with it, which is quite entertaining.
And I will make you a custom Fiesta. We play tag in Fiestas quite a lot because they're the shittest cars you can get in the game.
Well, it better have a fucking Triceratops on it.
Oh, fuck. That's going to be really hard.
Yeah, well, what else would you do for me?
I don't know. I made Blair one and I've made Dan one now. What? And they're just kind of just fancy painted cars.
Oh, fine. I'll get Blair to make me a Triceratops. Maybe he can do it.
Yeah. You love Blair.
Better pit you against each other. All right, that'll do it for episode...
Well, fine. If Blair's your favourite, then why don't you just go and talk to Blair?
Blair's not my favourite.
Now that we've done.
Fucker.
Who's my favourite? Who's your favourite, Peter?
Who's my favourite?
On TSA. Your favourite.
I don't know. I don't really have a favourite. I hate you all.
I do, but I'm not going to tell anyone.
I hate you all equally.
We just have to work out who I love the most. I mean, I'm like a bad parent. You should maybe say you don't have favourite children, aren't you? Something like that. I don't know.
Fuck that. Everybody's got favourites.
No, but I'm going to tell my children, and same with TSA stuff. I have a favourite, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. You need to work it out.
Oh, dear.
I feel that's mildly evil. That seems fairly evil, yeah?
Yeah.
I like that.
The only thing is that you're really counting on them giving a shit whether they're your favourite or not.
Oh, that's true.
I think that's the problem, is when you start to think that maybe your opinion matters.
Oh, that's true. That is an issue. Well, maybe I need to start just randomly like scheduling their articles based as if I have a preference.
Yeah.
So just occasionally schedule someone's article for like 2 a.m.
Oh dear. Yeah. Although 2 a.m. the site's still getting a little bit of traffic from America.
Oh, I need to find the minimum. I need to find the low peak. Low
I think
point.
4 to 5. In the morning.
Set it at like 4:30 in the morning. And then set something else so it gets knocked off at like 7 a.m. So no one in Europe sees it.
That would be pretty mean.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, that's my new scheduling policy. It's not about making sure the site has content. It's how much of a dick can I be? That is now how TSA is officially run. How much of a dick can I be to the writers? Brilliant. That's my new plan. Peter, are you on board with this?
What?
Are you on board with my plan?
Am I on board? Yeah.
Are you on board with my new scheduling policy? Right.
Yeah. Although, when my articles start turning up at 4:30 in the morning, now I'll know why.
You've angered me in some way during the week.
Oh, you anger in really random ways as well.
Yeah, I do. I get really angry about the San Diego thing. Because you were... Because you were fucking wrong.
Yeah. And I won't admit that I was wrong.
Yeah, but you you were wrong is the thing. You just don't want to
but
admit
no,
it.
You could say it the other way.
Yes, you could. But no one does.
Oh, dear.
As I said on Twitter, yes, there is a zoo in London, which does make it London's zoo. But no one calls it that. Everyone calls it London Zoo.
Well, I don't have to follow the crowd. I'm not a sheep.
Ah, fine. I'll get angry about this again. And the problem is, I know it's just a fucking stupid thing to get angry about. Also, I think Lewis has probably gone to sleep.
Who could blame him?
So this has been episode 29 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I have been, as always, your host, Chris Lipscomb. I've been joined, as per normal, by Peter Chapman, who you can find at twitter.com/ColossalBlue, and Lewis Gaston, who you can find at twitter.com/LewisGaston. That will do for this week. Say goodbye, everybody.
He is awake.
He's awake. Hey.
Bye.
I am awake. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that, Lewis. We went on about games for a bit.
Are you alright?
You alright?
I'm alright. You
alright? I'm good. Peter, you alright?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Right. Yeah, good.
Could be worse.
Sorted. I'm liking my new scheduling ideas. I'm going to start implementing these. Workout has pissed me off in the week. Oh,
but
brilliant.
You really shouldn't have told people on air. On air? Is that what we say?
No, it's brilliant because now, and to be fair, this bit's going to be in the podcast as well because it'll be like the after the music bit. But now they're going to start looking for patterns in the way I schedule stuff. I'm going to drive them all mental. Brilliant.
Just rule through fear. And keep a constant air of paranoia.